those scriptures read, because the contrast that you see of how God loves us and He makes us so special, and then He's judging us, and it's just a huge contrast. And I think it goes well with our series Upon the Water. There can be such a contrast. I've been out on Lake of the Woods when it's been calm in October and 70 degrees, and the next day it might be terrible storm and you might not want to be out there. I know I wouldn't. Roland tells me stories of people that get caught out there and they have to go hide behind an island for maybe for the rest of the day till the storm dies down. Well, we're going to look at this series about water. And as Peter mentioned, Tom was nice enough to give us this boat to help us remember this series, Upon the Water. Now, I love the name of his boat, Fair Winds. I'm thinking he should change it to Harvest Winds now that it's been in here. But that's up to Tom. We won't put any pressure on him. As we look today at storms, we talk about storms of life, and when you're on the water, you have to be aware of what's approaching, if there's a storm approaching. Sometimes you get caught off guard, as I mentioned, that person that had to go behind the island. Do you ever feel that way in your life? Like, wow, what just happened? I got to go hide behind the island, or I wasn't ready for that storm approaching. A big storm that came up that's talked about in the Bible is well known. God came to Noah and told him, I'm going to flood the earth. I want you to build a boat, a big boat, an ark, to save yourself and your family and animals. He knew about this storm that was approaching. Sometimes we know about storms and sometimes we don't. In 97, many of us went through the flood. Here, I heard it was two or three times you had a flood. We had just the one main flood in East Grand Forks. It was terrible. But nothing like Noah was going to experience. The water at my place was about a foot or two deep and filled the basement. That's not bad. Noah had to get ready for waters that was 2 miles deep. If you were here, the water was 2 miles deep, about. It covered the mountains and the whole earth. They knew about the flood that was coming, and some people prepared for it, like Noah and his family, and he probably was encouraging people every time he saw people. Judgment is coming. And I have a video I'd like to show that talks about ask people about Noah and the flood and get a little perspective from different people. So if that works, I would appreciate that.
Here for the first time. I trust you'll enjoy the museum. And one of the things you'll find out, sometimes people are a little surprised, although if they understood our ministry, they wouldn't be. But when they come here, they think, well,
there's a man named Noah, like in the Bible?
Right now,
Well, the Bible, Noah? No, I do not believe he existed.
So you don't think he built an ark?
No, no. I'm very comfortable with my atheism, but I support myths.
You think God sent a flood and drowned the whole world?
No.
You don't?
No.
If he had, would it have been fair to do so?
No. Why would he do that?
Well, the Bible says because the heart of man was corrupt, his imaginations were continually evil, and there was great wickedness and violence on the earth. Do you think that's justification for wiping out the whole of humanity, except for Noah and his family?
No.
Noah, born over 2,700 years BC, was a shipbuilder and a prophet of the century. Many think of Noah and the Ark as a story from the past, but did you know that according to Jesus, the events surrounding the life of Noah are directly related to you? Jesus said, as in the days of Noah, so shall it be with the coming of the Son of Man. In other words, the things that happened in Noah's day will be similar to the things that are going to happen during the time referred to in the Bible as the end of the age. In a moment, you're going to see clearly that the end of the age is happening now. But of all the signs, the one prevalent thing that happened in Noah's day was that people who knew right from wrong chose to ignore Noah's warning of God's coming judgment. Such is the way of the 21st century.
Do you think there was a man named Noah like in the Bible?
I did for a long time. I don't right now.
I believe there was a man named Noah.
Do you think he built an ark?
I'm pretty sure that that's kind of a story.
Do you think there was a man named Noah like in the Bible?
There's lots of great stories about it.
Do you believe there was a man named Noah?
I believe at one time there was very likely a man named Noah. Whether or not he was a biblical figure and swallowed by a whale, I find it statistically difficult to believe that nobody's been swallowed by a whale before, so.
It's a lot of animals in a little ark.
I mean, you're looking at over a million species out there. I don't find it possible.
The boat would have to be like the size of the moon.
The scriptures call Noah a preacher of righteousness. His life was prophetic in that the ark was a type of the then coming Christ. And we, like Noah, are preachers of righteousness, warning every man, calling a corrupt world to repentance and faith in Jesus, and telling them to be ready for his coming, of which no man knows the hour nor the day.
Do you think we're living in the last days?
No.
No, I don't think so. People said we were going to die in 2012, and we didn't.
I believe the whole world is going to come to an end real quickly here.
I honestly couldn't care less about when the last days are coming.
It'd be nice if the world ended.
It's not my concern whether it's tomorrow or a million years from now.
Do you know what the signs are of the end of the world?
I know some of them.
Tell me, what are they?
Chaos.
Okay, I take that back.
Nope, don't care.
Some dude in a horse chariot with like a spear like going down from the heavens.
Weather changes.
We got wars and rumors of wars.
Definitely the last days.
The economy's going crazy.
I know there's still bad things happening, but I don't think it's enough for the last days to occur.
It's very dark right now.
Here are 10.
Thanks, guys. Did you hear the lady at the beginning? She said, I'm comfortable with my atheism. That's sad. You know, it reminds me of the people that were outside of Noah's Ark. They were comfortable with their atheism until the rain started and they were pounding on the ark trying to get in. They were comfortable until the big storm came. And that's maybe true with some of these people. Maybe if the big storm comes, they might change their tune, or they might seek out God and his wisdom. Many people have heard this story. It's a fascinating story about building an ark. Tom, I don't know how long this took you to build, but the ark was 450 feet long and 75 feet wide and 45 feet high, approximately. So probably about three times the size of this building. That would take a little longer than a few days, or it took about 100 years for Noah to build that. So God was very patient with man. God had said, I'm going to judge the earth. But he waited and he waited and he allowed Noah time to build this ark and to save his family. These people are, they believe in Noah. Some of them believed in Noah, but they think, oh, that's just a story about the flood and about the ark. Well, it is a story. It's God's story. God told this story and man wrote it down. It's part of history. 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is breathed out of God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. As Peter read scripture today, what a loving God, and yet he has to be righteous judge. And there's a storm coming. End times, as he talked about, he alluded to, that is coming. We are seeing potentially the last days approaching. The storm is approaching, judgment day. God is going to judge the whole world. He's waiting for a certain number of people to get saved. Now, some of us are saved. I don't know if we're all saved, but that's God's desire, is that what all would be saved. So if you're saved, are you influencing others around you? Are you telling others about the storm, about end times, about God's judgment that's coming upon us? God waited for Noah to build this ark, and few people believed. Skeptics were outside, like, there's no water around here, Noah. What are you thinking? There's never been a flood here. What are you concerned about? How are you going to get your boat to the water to make use out of it? And Noah would talk to them and he would say, judgment is coming. Be prepared. 2 Corinthians 5:10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. All of us. So each of us may receive what is due for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad. We are going to be in front of the judgment seat. And God is going to judge us. We could call that a storm approaching. If you're doing not good, if you're doing bad. God's kindness and patience is wonderful, and yet he's holy and righteous. And he has to do his job in that area. He can't have fellowship with us when we're sinners, when we're unrighteous, all of us, unless we've received Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior and cleansed us from our sin. Have you done that? Have you repented? Have you walked through the door of salvation like Noah and his family walked through the door of the ark and God shut them in? That was their salvation from the flood. And the symbolism is the same today. We have a door that we can walk through for salvation. Jesus Christ is the way. John 14:6, Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. It's the only way. If somebody tells you differently, they're wrong. God has said there's only one way to salvation, one door, Jesus Christ. Acts 4:12, salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. There's only one way. And fortunately, a lot of us have found that way, have found salvation, are living with Christ now and enjoying that freedom that Christ gives us. And yet, we're keeping it to ourselves. We're being selfish. Are we sharing it with our family and our friends and our coworkers? Are we telling others the coming storm? It's a sad day when somebody dies, but it's way more sad if they don't have Christ. Maybe you had an opportunity to share with somebody who has died. Maybe you missed that opportunity. Don't let that happen again. God gives us opportunities to act on and to move people's hearts. It's not for us to convince them. We just plant a seed. Maybe somebody else waters that, and God can change their heart. God loves us, yet he hates sin. He loves us so much that he desires that we all go to heaven, and yet he knows that that won't happen. Many people will choose to be skeptics and stay outside the ark, not go through the door to salvation. 1 Samuel 15:29, God will not lie or have regret, for he is not man that he should have regret. And yet, he was sorry that he had made man. When he was talking to Noah, and he said, I'm sorry, there's so much wickedness. I'm sorry for this creation that's gone astray. I'm going to wipe them all out. Proverbs 3:32 says, the devious person is an abomination to the Lord. God hates sin. That word is not too strong. He cannot have fellowship with a sinner who has not received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Just like darkness and light, you turn on the light, darkness leaves. It cannot have fellowship together, just like God and sin. So what does he do about that? He punishes it. Just like the flood, he wiped out everybody that wasn't on the ark. All creation. It was a bad day for a lot of people, but not for Noah. He had believed God and he had worked to make this amazing ship, boat, ark, that saved he and his family. Fortunately, we don't have to do that. We don't have to build an ark to save our lives to get to heaven. A lot of us would be unable to do it. Just gathering the wood would be a big project. Or to figure out how to build it. God didn't give him like blueprints. He just knew how to do it. I bet Tom needed blueprints. It'd be a challenge to build something, especially that huge. God's mercy is so great. He desires that you be saved, that everybody would be saved. But he needs others to influence lives. He needs you to share with those around you. Don't just be selfish and say, I'm going to heaven and I'm going to be comfortable and I'm going to sit in the ark and I don't care who's outside about to be judged, about to die in their sin. Noah found favor with God. And it says he walked with God. God was gracious to him. Do you desire God's grace to be in your life? I do. I am thankful for how much grace he pours into my life, my family's life. I think a lot of problems are avoided in life because of that grace. Because I enjoy his provision and grace in our lives. And I want to share that with others. Noah is talked about in the faith chapter, Hebrews 11, verse 7. By faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear, built an ark to save his family. He didn't get to see the storm. He believed God. He knew that God was right and true, and he better accomplish this task. By his faith, he condemned the world. It's an interesting phrase there. By faith, Noah's actions actually allowed God to place judgment on the rest of the world. Do you believe God at his word like Noah did? What if God told you to do something that took a lot of effort and a lot of work, and you couldn't see the storm coming? You couldn't see the flood coming? Are you willing to act on what he tells you? Are you listening well to what God is asking you to do in life? Jesus said, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved. Just like the ark had one door. You had to go in that door. You weren't going to climb up sides once the rain started. You had to get in the door before that. One way to salvation. Jesus is the door. He is the way. This is a story about judgment, but also about mercy and grace and how God can pour out that into your life, like he did for Noah and his family. It's important that we receive that salvation and that we share it with others. Who's going to share with your family if you don't? Who's going to share with your coworkers if you don't? Who's going to share with your neighbor if you don't? The title of the message is, Who Needs a Boat Anyway? Well, everybody that experienced that flood needed that boat. And everybody that's going to Judgment Day needs salvation. A boat of salvation, so to speak. We all need the boat. We all need salvation. Someday it will be too late. Tomorrow you might die. Today might be your last day on earth. Nobody knows. Don't wait to make that choice. Don't wait to share with somebody else the importance of knowing about Judgment Day. Knowing about Jesus Christ and the free gift of salvation that He offers us. Do it before it's too late. I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus said that. And it's true. And we need to share that good news with other people. So think of somebody who you can share that with this week. Don't wait. Who needs a boat anyway? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for providing us with a boat of salvation. Jesus Christ, He is the way and the truth and the life. He is the door to salvation. Lord, help us to grab hold of that truth, that wisdom. Help us to act on that and then help us to share that with others. Lord, I thank you for this day. I thank you for the food that was brought in and the fellowship meal ahead. Lord, I thank you for each person that helped prepare that meal. I thank you for that food. May you bless it to our bodies today, and may you bless our conversation as we sit and enjoy lunch together. And Lord, prompt our hearts so that we would have a name of somebody who we can share your truth with this week. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.